In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's meditation is the reading just read. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and so it is finally fall. You can feel it in the air. You can see it on people's faces as they shiver and just kind of bring things together. In the church, you can tell it's fall because St. Michael's and All Angels has passed, and there's a decided shift in the lessons that you are hearing on Sunday morning. One after another, you hear about the end of all times and the end of all days, and about the signs of the coming of the Son of Man. As if it weren't bad enough that this was happening inside the walls of the church, you can tell it by looking around and seeing the signs before your very eyes. Hurricanes, another one coming yet to Florida this week. Tidal waves last year. Great earthquakes in various different places. Midterms at the seminary. All these signs make you think of the last of all days. Coming up in the next few weeks are even more reminders, but a much more pleasant way to think about the end of all days. Beginning this next coming week, we begin to celebrate the Reformation and Dr. Luther and his companions who rediscovered the gospel by God's grace and through their preaching has brought the gospel to the ends of the earth, especially through the Lutheran Church. After that, we will celebrate All Saints, where our eyes will be lifted up to see all peoples of all times and all places who have had faith in Jesus, either in the coming Messiah, our Old Testament saints, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Daniel, and those who stood for the faith in face of great opposition and personal sacrifice. Through the ages into the New Testament, all of the apostles, all but one martyrs, the martyrs of old, one faithful preacher and theologian after another, forward to this very day and age where the pastors and the teachers and the mothers and the brothers who were with you through your life witnessed to you the love of Christ Jesus and celebrated with you the fact that in God, you have been baptized into the body of Christ. We need to remember, because it is so often hard for us to remember, that the body of Christ is not just those Christians that gather with us on Sunday morning, but are also the Christians who have lived throughout all time and in all places, and that will follow us until the day that the Lord actually sounds the trumpet and raises the dead and brings to an end all of this suffering and sighing and pain that we know of in this world. We are a part of that body, and when we feel very alone, which can happen, it is good to remember that. We are not by ourselves. As the Lord reminded the prophet Elijah on Mount Sinai when he thought all the prophets had been stoned, all the people had gone over to Baal, and they were standing all by themselves. Well, brothers and sisters, it is not true, because we have been baptized into one body. Through our baptism, our Lord has adopted us as his children and made us his own. He has drafted us and grafted us into the body of Christ itself. If that were not enough, he gives us the presence of his very own Holy Spirit, whom he pours out upon us in that baptism, and who is with us through to the very end of time. Our place, lest we lose ourselves in the crowd, is also unique. It is kind of as if God drew a giant mall map for us and said, "You are here." Each and every one of us is a special part of God's body. Dr. Luther put it this way: accordingly, God has poured out various gifts among the people. They should be directed to only one end, namely that the person should serve the other person with them, especially those who are in authority, whether preaching or in another office. God intends to use us, not just to give us a life insurance policy against hell, but to give us something to do here and now. He has given us a mission, and that mission is to take the precious gospel to the ends of the earth, to serve him and to serve each other. It is not for no reason whatsoever, or just so that we can feel good about it or have some kind of self-esteem, that God has given us the gifts and the place in the church that he has put us. In the task that we have, sometimes we can feel a little bit alone, or other times can feel harassed even by our brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes when you think God calls the church the family of God, that he was right, because we fight like brothers and sisters, don't we? And we think of each other in the same way and get mad at each other, especially those who are closest to us. They should know better. After all, they don't agree with me, do they? He strengthens us in times like that with something more, with the sacrament of the altar itself, to bring our sins before him for forgiveness, to join in the fellowship of the body and blood of Christ, so that with him and together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we can be refreshed for the task which lays ahead of us. Yet we tend to not think about the big picture, about God and the ranks of angels and the saints in heaven and the saints on earth, but we tend to focus in on ourselves. Our culture is a therapy culture that leads us to think more and more about ourselves, and if we don't think about ourselves enough, says we need therapy. It makes us focus on our needs, even our felt needs. It makes us think that we're victims when things don't go our way or when people don't actually roll out the red carpet for us like we think that they ought to. It makes us focus on what we are doing in the church. In other generations, there were pastors who decided that they were the whole show in the church, and that they were the Herr Pastor, the person who ought to be respected even if he picks up a hammer. Now, we should know better, especially I should know better, since my wife would immediately shout, "Back away from the hammer!" Because you don't want to see me in action with a hammer. We tend to think about what it might be if people were just to understand the faith the way we do, because then life would be perfect, because we obviously have the full counsel of God. We downplay our own sins and faults and weaknesses. Yes, the office may not be well organized, but I sure can preach a sermon. Yes, I might have said something in just the wrong way to that person, but sure, they really deserved it. They need to wake up and realize how sinful they really are. Chief of sinners though I be, we might say, all the rest are worse than me. We tend to look for faults of others and to complain about them, sometimes endlessly. This is not new. Dr. Luther said it this way: all that we can notice about other people are their faults and impurities, which they can denounce, but what is good about them we do not see. People have many virtues which the devil cannot destroy, yet he hides or disfigures them to make them invisible. For example, even though a woman may be full of faults and have no other virtues, still she is a creature of God. At least she can carry water and wash clothes. There is no person on earth so bad that he cannot have something good about him that is praiseworthy. Why then is it that we leave the good things out of sight and feast our eyes on unclean things? It is as though we enjoy only look at, if you would pardon the expression, a man's fill in the blank. Dr. Luther was a little crude. What we tend to do is look at the glory of ourselves at the expense of others. The problem with that is that if the whole church had just one gift and it was us, then the church would fail, because the church needs a many and a variety of gifts. It needs someone to install the carpet. Otherwise, they would see how badly Pastor Smith's installation skills are. There are other things that we need to have done in the church. Some of us preach well, but don't counsel all that well. Others counsel very well, but let's keep them out of the pulpit. Still others can take care of people's needs like no one else could ever think of. We're all needed. And if one gift is exalted over another, the rest suffer. Christ, however, gives us a different way of looking at things and a different manner of thinking about life. Our Lord Jesus came to serve us, and laid aside his glory to become one of us. He, instead of exalting things the way he could have done, instead of coming to lecture us on all of the things we had done wrong and then to correct them with a wave of his hands, instead of judging us as we ought to be judged and sent off to hell, instead he went the way of the cross, living a perfect life in our place. Our sins and faults, he made his sins and faults. He went to the cross and died so that we could live. And because of his life of perfect service, the price for our self-centeredness and our way of thinking of things has been paid once and for all. Our sins are forgiven, and we are able to serve him and to serve one another. In those times when we do not have the strength to do so, he gives us the strength to serve God and our neighbor. As Dr. Luther put it, no one covers his face, eyes, nose, and mouth. We do not need to, for they are the most honorable members we have. But the weakest members, of which we are ashamed, we carefully conceal. Our eyes, our hands, even our whole body must help to cover and veil them. Thus, in our relations with one another and all of us, we should veil whatever is dishonorable and weak in our neighbors and do whatever we can to serve, assist, and promote their good name. On the other hand, we should prevent everything that may contribute to the disgrace. It is a particularly fine, noble virtue to put the best construction on all that we may hear about our neighbors and to defend them against poisonous tongues of those who are busily trying to pry out and pounce on something to criticize in their neighbor, misconstruing and twisting things in the worst way. At the present, this is happening especially to the precious Word of God and to its preachers. And so it is that God has called us to serve not ourselves, but to work as a part of the body of Christ, to draw strength from our head who served first in order that we might live, so that by serving God and others, they might live also. Thus it is that we can face the end times, not as individuals or as Lone Ranger Christians, but also as people who are a part of God's body, drawing strength and giving strength to it for the sake of God's glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.